management style at ABC had always been to choose good executives, then trust them to run their businesses. But working at ABC was no longer fun. It seemed like every decision was second-guessed by Eisner, with strategic planning pulling strings behind the scenes. Coming on the heels of the decision to move ABC to Los Angeles, the radio meeting was tough to take. Burke went to Iger and said he wouldn't relocate to L.A. "Wait," Iger urged. "Don't make any decisions until I talk to Michael." Later he came back and said Burke could stay in New York and be in charge of all the ABC operations, in effect replacing Iger. Iger himself would move to L.A. in some new, higher-ranking capacity, reporting to Eisner. Iger seemed excited. It would position him for the presidency. Burke said he'd think it over. On one level, Burke wanted to stay. The new job would keep him in New York. Turning around ABC would be an interesting challenge, if he really had the freedom to do it. But he concluded that he never would, not as long as Eisner was in charge. Burke was grateful to Eisner for launching his career. But, he thought, that was a different Eisner. Relaxed, confident, willing to take risks, willing to delegate. Burke still respected his creative instincts, but Eisner's management style had become the antithesis of what Burke had learned from his father and Tom Murphy. So when a headhunter called Burke, he took the call for the first time in his career. He began talking to Comcast, a large cable company based in Philadelphia. He told Iger he decided to leave the company. Iger seemed surprised. "You've really made up your mind?" he asked. Burke insisted he had. A big affiliates meeting was coming up in Orlando, and Burke said he'd be happy to go ahead with his presentation at the meeting. "I'll handle this any way you want," he offered. The next day, Burke got a terse voice message from Iger. "Michael and I have talked. He's very upset. We've decided there's no further need for you here. You can leave tomorrow." Burke placed several calls to Eisner, who didn't call back. He cleaned out his office and left. He'd already gotten a job offer from Comcast. Still, people at ABC were stunned that he'd leave Disney and the chance to run ABC for what seemed like a lesser job at a much smaller company. The next week, Time magazine ran an article on Disney, pointing out Eisner's lack of a successor, noting the recent resignations of Burke and also Geraldine Laybourne from TV, Richard Manuela, and Larry Murphy. But Burke told Time, "The whole situation is a lot less sexy and nefarious than people believe. Eisner is the most interesting combination of entertainment and business talent in the entertainment business, maybe in any business, and the company still has one of the greatest collections of business talent I've ever seen." After the article appeared, Eisner returned Burke's call. "I'm sorry this turned out this way," Burke said, "but I appreciate everything you did for me. I hope we can get beyond this." "Why didn't you tell me?" Eisner asked. "I made your career," Eisner said. Eisner said Iger had assured him everything would be okay, that he had Burke under control. Burke conceded that he should have earlier dealt directly with Eisner. Maybe he'd made a mistake communicating through Iger. Still, it wouldn't have changed anything because Eisner himself was the problem. "Thank you for the comment in Time,"